This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. South African musician Derek Gripper has been playing classical music since he was 6 years old, but after years of studying in Cape Town, he felt uninspired by the classical repertoire. So he set out to gather musical inspiration from around the world. Traveled first to South India to study Carnatic music and immersed himself in works then after that by African and Brazilian composers, and the search eventually led him to an instrument that changed the direction of his career. It was the kora. It's a 21-string harp from West Africa, popularized by musicians and composers from Mali. Derek was so struck by the sound of the kora that he wanted to find a way to play it on the guitar. And in the past 3 years, he has perfected that art and now collaborates with composers and musicians around the world. He's in North Carolina right now for a seminar at Duke University, but first joins me in the studio, Derek Gripper. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi. Thanks, Frank.
Take us back to the beginning of your musical journey. I want to get that moment when you were looking for some new sound.
It was like I had a skill, but I didn't know what to do with it. You know, and I had a skill that was displaced as well. You know, I would travel around playing classical guitar recitals in South Africa, you know, in small towns or, you know, some in the concert halls of, you know, Cape Town, Johannesburg, and it just felt strange. And then even traveling to Europe and giving a concert and playing Bach to Germans, you know, it all just didn't really sit well. And then I've had to look and see what am I listening to? You know, what's the music I'm listening to? And the music I was listening to was Tumani Diabate, great kora player, and you know, these were the great, you know, classical musicians in the sense of what I understood as you know, instrumental music composers, you know, that I was really interested in. So,
well, when did you become interested in that? How long had you been?
Since I was a teenager. I went in South Africa. You didn't have any touring artists until after 91. You know, probably the first show that we had was Paul Simon came. In the early 90s. The first show that I went to see of a non-South African musician was Salif Keita. So that must have had an impact, you know, the great Malian singer. So that was pretty much where it started. I was completely blown away, you know, at the age of, I don't know, 13 or something.
So we should describe the kora, what it looks like, and also how it's used, because it is, as you say, it's an instrument for which great classical and very complex compositions have been written, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we think of the kora from outside as a kind of, you know, traditional instrument, and we generalize, you know. So what I've been trying to do is to show the great range of this instrument, you know. It's like you talk about the piano, you know. What are you talking about, Glenn Gould, Keith Jarrett, or the guy, you know, who accompanies the, you know, songs at your school, you know, whatever.
Right.
So the kora
the
is
Christmas
an amazingly
pageant.
Complex and differentiated instrument, also in terms of which country. It's a 21-string harp. It has a calabash resonator. With a skin over it. It's quite big. It's probably, I don't know, 1.5 meters tall or something. And it has two lines of strings, so you can kind of do these alternating fast. And the music is a wonderful mix of north and south. You know, it has the cyclical trance nature of Southern African music with the kind of melismas of Arabic music, North African music.
So what made you decide to want to play, to get that sound from a guitar?
From a guitar, well, I could play the guitar, so that was my only
Makes sense. Start with what you know.
I did get a kora, you know, being in Africa, it was obviously very easy for me to get a kora, so I got one from Brighton in the UK.
I see.
Because that's how things are down there. So I did play it for a while, but you know, it's a long, miserable journey to learn to play an instrument, to find the right instrument, you know, to find the right guitar, all that. I'd done that already, so you know, I ended up going back to the guitar, you know, disappointed in a way, because I really wanted to find a way to access this music, and I hadn't yet started to think of this music in the correct way that it would allow me to access it. You know, I was kind of prejudiced, I suppose, you know, like the media is about African music. You know, we think about it in a different way.
Well, let me hear a sample of it, and then we can unpack some more of that and talk about how your thinking changed and how that affected you. But maybe we should hear a sample right now, if we could.
Thank you.
Guitarist Derek Gripper. He is from South Africa. He played the song Miniamba. He's in town for a seminar at Duke University. When you set out to learn or to teach yourself to create that sound, and we probably should have figured out a way to put a chorus song on here so we could hear how close that is in my memory and imagination, how close it is. Did you learn from choral players, or did you sort of teach yourself by ear? How did you get that sound?
Yeah, no, I couldn't learn from choral players because I don't know, it didn't occur to me to go to Mali for some reason. I'm still trying to think about why. I think because I went to India and I experienced what it was like, you know, to go from outside and try and learn, and you know, you have to start from the beginning. So I decided to use the skills that I already had, and that was, as I said, you know, thinking about the music in a different way, because I think there's this sort of process of othering, you know, where you kind of think, oh, this is a griot and he speaks this language, and you know, it's you have to go and live there for a million years and learn, you know, and of course, you know, we each come with a range of skills, and it's just about finding that commonality. And for me, it was about understanding Tumani as a great African composer, as opposed to a traditional musician or a griot.
Tumani Djabadi. So tell us a little more about that, if you can put it in words, how you thought differently and how that conversion of thought led you to that sound that you can create.
Well, in classical music, the basis of classical music is the art of interpretation of texts. So the text is a written text, usually Bach or something, and you interpret it, and that's what is interesting about that. And in other forms of music, they're called covers, and it's not considered a very, you know. So it, you know, this is exactly it. You have two different rules.
Improvisation too. Does that play any part in how you think about the guitar and chora, or does improvisation?
That came
play?
Later. So what I did was I treated Tumani's recordings as texts, which meant that I. You know, I didn't have a written score, but I had a recording, and I translated those into, you know, into written scores for the guitar, and I began by performing them as compositions by him. And I did many, many of his compositions. I did an album called One Night on Earth, which was mostly dedicated to his incredible collection of recordings that he made at the age of 21 in 1987, where he totally changed the nature of the chora, just like what Bach did for, you know, Baroque music, Tumani did for the chora. But the nature of this music is that it's a kind of modular form of improvisation. So there's a very fine line between the reading of the text and improvisation and its spontaneity in a way that's different to how, you know, jazz thinks about improvisation, I think. And so that has been happening and very naturally. And then in February, I finally got invited to play in Mali. Tumani invited me to a festival that he did. And it's called Acoustic Bamako, and he put me in the middle of a bunch of chora players just so that I could learn exactly that thing, you know, of what that spontaneity is in the music. And that, as a classical musician, was an incredible thing. It's like you've been listening to Bach from his scores for a few hundred years, and suddenly you go to a gig and there he's actually playing and he's all over the place, you know.
So you learn where the grace notes are.
You learn where that he probably doesn't even remember how he wrote the pieces down, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I want to talk more about that, but maybe we should hear another sample. Would you play for us again?
Yes, I'd like to play you Jarabi. It's a wonderful example of what Tumani did for the chora by, you know, introducing a kind of counterpoint, you know. So the chora would have been one element of three or four musicians, and with Tumani, he takes this, which is your bass line, you know, that would be his left hand thumb, then right hand thumb, and then the index fingers can now do the melodies where he says, you know, the chora sings something like, thank you.
Song called Jeremy. It was played by Derek Gripper. He is a guitarist, a song that is most usually played on the kora. He's from South Africa, and he's here in the area, North Carolina, for a seminar at Duke University. It's a beautiful song that has, the instrument you're playing has 6 strings. The kora has 21. Mm-hmm. Is there something you can't do? What do you lose, or do you lose anything by not having those extra strings?
Well, the kora is a harp, so you are playing open strings all the time. So the kora has only 21 notes, would be a better way to understand it. And the guitar has as many notes as you have strings and frets. So the guitar has the same range of 3.5 octaves as the kora, but it has all the chromatic notes in between. So you have a lot of possibilities on the guitar that you don't have on the kora, which is something that I explore in my performances. There's resonance possibilities, there's chromatic possibilities, which are shown in West African guitar styles, which are very different to what I do, but they bring in these kind of microtonal, inflections that come from Ngoni, which is the lute. So the West African guitar style comes mostly from Ngoni, which is a different instrument. It's a fretless lute, mm-hmm. And whereas what I'm doing comes mostly from the kora, but there's a great mix. So there's a lot that the guitar can do. It's a different instrument, and the kora is just a magic instrument. It's got this incredible sound because it's a calabash. It's a natural. It grows.
Big wide belly, and it's a tall thing. Let's play a little clip from a kora piece right here. The kora that played by Mamadou Dramé is the artist on that one.
Amazing.
It's a great sound. You play this now. What was it like for you to be in Mali with your guitar amongst all those kora players?
It was an incredible experience, I think, especially for me as a South African. One of the things that didn't happen in South Africa in the transition, in the political transition, is that we didn't use culture as a way to bring the country together, as a way to, not much. It's really been sidelined, whereas Mali in the 60s used the hugely diverse culture to create a form of national identity, which is incredible. And as a result, it has one of the strongest, comparable maybe to Brazil. Musically, it is unbelievable what goes on in that country. It's really incredible. And South Africa probably has a greater diversity of music, but it doesn't have a space and a voice as much. So to find that you can play loudly at 4 in the morning and not have anyone give you, just little things like that were amazing. To see, I didn't speak the language. I don't speak French. So I couldn't speak to many people, but I could pull my guitar out in the street corner and communicate with people in that way, because they knew the repertoire, they knew the words to the songs. Even if they were the guy who was selling ginger juice on the corner, he would know. I met everybody from the guy selling ginger juice to the taxi driver to the Sheikh Modiba Diarra, who was the original, he was a prime minister for 6 months. You could pan them a guitar and they would play for you. I said to him, what is wrong with you people? How is it possible that you all play like this? So it was incredible to see music spoken as a language. And I think that's the thing. There's not a music education. So they still speak. I think it's comparable to, you know, if we started teaching children to speak, you know, we would have a nation of mutes within a generation, you know, and that's bit of what we've done to music in many respects. I mean, look, there's lots of wonderful things that have come out of music education.
But you're saying make it the air you breathe integral to your culture. And sadly, it can be those can be cultural markers in some places, which actually can further the divide. Pleasure to talk with you, Derek Gripper.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. I'm going to leave you maybe just a couple of seconds to play us out. We probably won't have much time, but I just want to say that you're in town for a seminar at Duke University. Mm-hmm. This is The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. A few more seconds, Derek Gripper, will you play for us?
Thanks. ¶¶